Welcome to a Believer's Voice of Victory Thanksgiving Week special. Join Kenneth Copeland today as he expounds on how to press in to hear the word of the Lord and what causes you to be truly rich. Now here's Kenneth.
Open your Bibles with me to Luke's Gospel. I want to show you something here quickly. Chapter 5, it came to pass as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret. Now here are people pressing in to hear the word of God. And saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. Now these fishermen were not pressing in to hear the word of God. They were overhearing the word of God. They're working. They've worked all night long and they're cleaning up their nets. He entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. He sat down and taught the people out of the ship. When he had left speaking, he said to Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets. Plural. Nets. Say it. Nets. Not net. Nets. You got it? All right. And Simon answering unto him, Master, we have toiled all night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net. Net. Now stay with me now. Now Jesus operated at all times in the blessing of Abraham.
Yeah.
The scripture, Proverbs 10th chapter says, the blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and he adds no sorrow with it. Now take the time and run your scripture references, get your concordance, so forth out, and run your references on the word toil. And that's the word sorrow in Proverbs 10. Now, toiling for living was the first curse that came on man. That he would eat bread by the sweat of his brow. Folks, those days have been over for thousands of years for the people of God. Listen to the conversation. I make a living. I make money. I make deals. I'm a self-made man. Now that's the Babylonian system in operation. The blessing of the Lord, it maketh. Now, in fact, hold your place there and go over to the 73rd Psalm, maybe, 73rd Psalm, verse 12. Behold, these are the ungodly who prosper in the world. Now, how are they prospering?
In the world.
In the world. They're not prospering in God. The blessing of the Lord's not prospering there. They're prospering in the world. And they are prospering. But they're prospering in the world. They increase in riches. Mm-hmm. All right. Now, just go right on over to the book of Proverbs. Chapter 10. 22nd verse. The blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow. He adds no toil to it. There's no sorrow in it. Why would he? He bore our sorrows and carried our griefs. Now, these these men, these fishermen, Peter was one of them. Peter owned half of the business, and he and Mr. Zebedee were partners in fishing business there, and Mr. Zebedee's two sons, John and James. Now, they should have known, had they been preaching the blessing of Abraham in the synagogues instead of preaching the traditions of men and religion, they would have known better than what they were doing. But they're out there fishing just like the world. They're toiling. He said, we toiled all night long, didn't get anything. But I'll go out there. He didn't say, I'm going to act on your word because you're the son of God. He wasn't the son of God to him. He's a preacher. Rabbi. He called him rabbi. This King James says master, but he called him rabbi. He had respect for him. And now he's worked all night long. Didn't catch anything. He's a professional fisherman. On that lake, you don't fish in the daytime because it is, I mean, it's clear as bathwater, man. I mean, this thing is so clear that you throw a net and the fish see it before it ever hits the water and they just get it. So you fish at night. But they still didn't catch anything. But what does a rabbi know about fishing? Well, most of them. Some of them do, some of them don't. But this one don't have to know about fishing. He knows about the blessing. He knows the fish. He don't know about the fish. He knows the fish. Now, Peter thinks he knows what's going to happen because of his experience. Jesus knows what's going to happen because it's been revealed to him by the Holy Ghost. Now, you can operate on either side. You can stay in the dark, and just go on your experience, or you can get over and be led by the Spirit of God just like He is. Amen.
Amen.
So now, I want you to notice what happened. Go back over there to Luke. Simon answering said to him, Master, we toiled all night, have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net. Just because you want to, I'll let down the net. Well, now, wait a minute. They were gone out of them and were washing their nets. Keep that in mind now. When they had thus done, they included a great multitude of fishes, and the net, not nets, the net broke. Why? It was rotten. It was a throwaway net. We ain't going to catch anything anyway, and I'm going to take this preacher out there and throw this thing a few times, satisfy his itch to fish, and show him, you know, a good time, and I'm going to get back and throw this old wore-out net back under the boat seat. I don't want to take that good net and throw it out there. I got to wash him again. I've been up all night long. Mama's got breakfast ready, and I'm headed to the house.
Come on.
Amen. Oh, but did he get a surprise? All the fish in the Galilee are around his boat, and he ain't got a net. Now, it's not because of the miracle that the net broke. Those nets were not made to break. There's other incidences in the Word of God, like in the Gospel of John. They caught so many fish, they couldn't move that net. But it didn't break. What about the other nets? These other folks came out there and filled all the boats, including Peter's. Why didn't their nets break? They saw what was happening and got the good nets. I don't care if you do have to wash them, but they can wait breakfast, man. Are you seeing what's happening here? Now, he knew better. Peter knew better than to offer a man of God a blemished offering. He knew better than that. He's Jewish. He knew better than that. That's what caused him. When they had this done, they enclosed a multitude of fish. Their net broke. They beckoned unto their partners, which from the other ship, that they should come and help them. They came and filled the ship so that they began to sink. Not a net broke. They got the good nets out again. But now Simon Peter saw it. He fell down at Jesus' knees saying, "Depart from me. I am a sinful man, O Lord." He knew what he'd done. And it got him, you know. He got under conviction about it. Well, Jesus didn't say anything to him. He just standing there laughing. Why? He couldn't fall at Jesus' feet. His feet are covered up in fish. He fell at his knees. And the fish are slapping him in the face. And our poor old Peter, he didn't catch a fish. Biggest haul in the history of the Galilee. And he didn't catch not one. "Depart from me, I've not done this. Man, I made a foolish sacrifice. I threw that blemished net out there trying to fool a man of God." Right. And he got caught at it. In a good way, but he still got caught. And you know, Jesus is standing there smiling at him. For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the catch of fishes which they had taken. And so also James and John, sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, "Don't let this scare you. From henceforth, you're going to be fishers of men." Amen. Can't you see the smile on his face? He's standing there laughing at Peter, getting slapped around by those fish. And Peter's all upset, man. He's hurting, you know. Amen. And the Lord just consoled him. But he still didn't get no fish. Got Jesus in his boat and didn't catch a fish. Up to his waist in fish, and he didn't get none. Why? His offering stunk. Now, what's going on here? Toiling is fear-based, and it drove the fish away. But when the blessing was released, it drew the bounty to them. The blessing of the Lord, it made rich. And he added no sorrow with it. Hallelujah. Well, you don't think they ate all those fish, do you? You understand these are Jewish men in the fishing business? Man, the fish market was going, hallelujah, and people are doing well here. Why? Because the blessing of Abraham on Jesus was released. Why? He used the man's boat. There was a good offering there. Peter just didn't recognize what it was. But Jesus used his boat, and he agreed to it. And so he just moved on out there and said, "Throw your nets." Well, he threw one, tore it all to pieces. He's screaming and hollering, "Get out of here, get out of here, get out of here, get out of here, get out of here, quick." And man, they're charging out there and got in the middle of all those fish, and they started sinking the boats, man, with so many fish. Did they have to work on that hard? They weren't working, brother. They were fishing. Hallelujah. No, the toil was gone. Everybody got a smile on their face. It is harvest time on the Galilee. Hallelujah. You are the seed of Abraham through Christ Jesus.
I am thankful, so thankful for Jesus in my life. I'm thankful for his kingdom. I'm thankful for his love, his great love, and his blessing, the blessing operating in my life. Thankful for the children he's blessed me with. I'm so thankful to be an American, to be living in this great nation. My parents are immigrants. I'm a first generation American. I'm so thankful. Thankful for the United States military, that they're doing a fabulous job, and all of our allies. So I want to thank the Lord for them. And just thank the Lord for all his goodness in my life.
My name is Bill Krause, and this is my wife, Cindy. We've been married 36 years, whole bunch of kids, and we pastor Family Community Church in North Highlands, California, which is in the Sacramento area.
Tell me briefly about the journey that brought you to this point.
I got saved in 1976 up on the Alyeska pipeline up in Alaska, and then came home so I could actually bring the salvation message to my friends and family. Mm-hmm. And then my wife and I started attending a Bible study, and then got involved in the charismatic movement. We found the Christian radio station and started listening to Kenneth Copeland on the radio. And that was a daily feeding, which turned us on to Kenneth Copeland and that style of preaching and that style of life, which was very refreshing for us and very much needed for our life.
Bill, you'd come from the pipeline. God's prospering, your family's growing, you've got enough finances. You began to listen to the Word.
That's correct.
Did things begin to change in your career path and the things that you wanted to do?
Yeah, absolutely. I wanted to teach, and then I started getting involved in the teaching aspect of it. And then, of course, we partnered with Kenneth Copeland Ministries, and it was a big part of our life until we went to Bible college in 82. We had our own business, and it was a humongous decision, and one that shocked our families because of a family business that we own and we're involved with. But when that call of God's there, and it's Him drawing you, that you don't have a choice. And we were already living it, but it pushed us to a whole new level of implementing the Word, standing on the Word, believing the Word with the five kids and the tuitions and private school tuitions and no job and no incomes, and the Word works.
And the day came you graduated from Bible college, you knew you were going into full-time ministry. How did the Lord take you from Tulsa to California?
He actually spoke to both my wife and I very, very clearly, very distinctly.
He told us both Sacramento. He told us both that very night.
And did you start the church right away?
We took a year, went to a church, attended there, assisted the pastor there, and just helped him out in any way we could. And showed ourselves faithful with that which is another man's. And God told us to launch the church, and we did. And we started in actually July of 85. So we graduated in 84, spent 1 year, 52 weeks exactly in that other church, and then started Family Community Church.
And how have things progressed in the church since that day?
It's been a wonderful ride, actually. It's just onward and upward. You know, we started the church and then started showing the Sunday morning broadcast at our church. We had a 9:45 Sunday school and 11 o'clock service. So it was before that, and we'd watch the broadcast, receive an offering, have some praise and worship. And that was before our regular church services. And then once a month, send that money into Kenneth Copeland. That got us into our regular giving, and then we began building up our giving from there.
Well, that decision that you all made to have the special service, to watch the broadcast, then to actually take up offerings, do you think that decision, those acts of giving, do you think it impacted your ministry and where you are today?
Absolutely.
And what's going on in your ministry today?
Well, we're avid supporters of Kenneth Copeland Ministries. We're growing, thriving. We're very community involved. I actually own the community newspaper in our town. We are very active with cleaning up, fixing up, meeting the needs of the people.
We started a car wash, believe it or not, and that car wash has been going for 13 years on Saturday mornings. So we have had miracles on our lot because we take prayer requests and we wash their car. And we move the car, and when we move the car, people are praying in the Holy Ghost in those people's car, blessing that car. That's a big day in the community because we do hamburgers outside. I mean, we are a hustle and a bustle.
And this week you're here for the West Coast Believers Convention. What's brought you, both of you, to take the time away from church, away from your ministry, to sit under the Word this week?
For me, the big thing is refreshing. As a pastor, I need to be fed and nurtured, and it's good to put out, it's good to serve, but it's good to be served and it's good to be fed. And I need it as a time of filling up. It's a mandatory thing for me. We've sown some of our best seed ever into the Kenneth Copeland Ministries. We've now even sown a couple of our kids and three of our grandkids. So, you know, that's my biggest seed ever.
What do you mean? How did you sow your kids and grandkids?
Well, I trained all of our children and my wife. We trained all of our kids for ministry.
That's sweet.
Well, two of my key players were my eldest daughter and her husband, and they now work for KCM. So we sent them over. They're on loan from family. You're talking two of my best key players in my ministry and what they were doing and how they were functioning. Well, there was a need and we sowed the seed, and so that'll bring our greatest harvest ever. I know it.
I'm grateful for the ministry. I'm grateful for the price they paid to be on TV. Kenneth Copeland was our roots coming into the Word of Faith. Never heard a message like that, and thank God it has brought results spiritually, that all our kids are serving God. I'm grateful to God.
And we're eternally grateful for the investment that Kenneth and Gloria have made, because it's made a great difference in us, and as a result, we've been able to make a great difference in some other people's lives.
There's something that came out of watching the Krause family that was a dream of mine when we started on television many years ago. And that was, you know, back there when we started, there wasn't anybody on television much, and particularly on when we started the dailies, right, and so forth. And it wasn't just the internet wasn't there, the direct broadcast wasn't there, all of that came later. And the thing that I had in my heart was that pastors could take this broadcast and use it. Well, that's what Bill did.
Mm-hmm.
He took it and he used the broadcast and built around that. Brother, it didn't mean he didn't do anything. He preached, he taught, he took those subjects and taught them. And after all, he's a Rhema graduate. I mean, he knew exactly what we were talking about.
You were like part of the cake. You were.
Yeah, he would use that.
Yeah.
And to build up
like
the
Sunday school, maybe even.
Oh yeah, and particularly when you're just getting started in a church. Well, then when the daily came along, it made it even stronger because you had so much more material that you could just continue to use it all the time. And you use that instead of a quarterly, mm-hmm, instead of a kind of little training book of some kind. You actually use the broadcast. Well, now it's even easier than that. You can pull it down on the internet. It's there available.
That's
to
right.
you. This is an example of the blessing empowering you to do God's will. The blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich. The world says, I make a living. Where'd that come from? We have to eat bread by the sweat of our brow.
Right.
That was the very first curse that came on Adam. We've been redeemed from that curse. The grace of God is here in that area. You're not supposed to be earning your living any more than you earn your salvation. We don't supposed to work. I didn't say that. We're working on assignment. We're not working for food. We're working on an assignment with God, and He'll take care of you according to His riches and glory, not according to what you're out there doing on assignment that He told you to do. It is a biblical concept that has to be born into the very consciousness of the church, because that's where the economy folds up, is out there in that toiling world. And when it does, the church needs to know its business so it's not caught up in that. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Father, you're our source.
Thank you, Lord. That's the truth.
Oh, you're our source.
We worship you.
We just praise you that you use a lot of different channels. You use a lot of different ways and things, and because you're unlimited, and with our faith, we take the limits off and we walk by faith. We live by faith. We don't make a living. We live by faith, and we praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Gloria, I want to send you something free and postpaid. Just let us know you want it. It's the Christmas album, Christmas Every Day. And so we want to sow it into your life, not just as a Christmas gift, but something that you can use to praise God and worship God and be a blessing in your life. Now listen, the Copeland Family Meeting, December the 3rd through the 5th at Gaylord Palms Resort and Convention Center, Orlando, Florida. George and Terry, Steve and Kelly, John and Marty, Jeremy and Sarah. Praise God. Somebody said, are the Copelands quitting? Not hardly. Amen. Somebody wrote in and said, is Brother Copeland sick? Is he? No, I ain't sick.
Does he look sick? No.
No. But I'm telling you what, we got these kids trained and they're on fire for God, and we're sending them out there. I'm telling you, they're not just little copycats. These guys have power anointings on them. So get involved and get people into these meetings.
We're just multiplying. That's what we're doing.
Oh, yeah. And the healing anointing Oh, it's powerful. Amen. Then on the 31st of December for a special New Year's Eve service right here at Eagle Mountain International Church. It wouldn't hurt you if you're going to take a good New Year's Eve trip and just...
Go to church.
Amen. We'll have a good time. Gloria and I will see you tomorrow. Until then, this is Kenneth and Gloria Copeland reminding you that Jesus is
Lord.
Come to these exciting meetings. Hello, My Name is God, live, a meeting with Jeremy and Sarah Pearsons on November 20th and 21st. Join them at the Atlanta Marriott Century Center in Atlanta, Georgia. The Copeland Family Meeting in Orlando, Florida is December 3rd through 5th. Join George and Terry Pearsons, Steve and Kelly Swisher, John and Marty Copeland, and Jeremy and Sarah Pearsons for a time of ministry at the Gaylord Palms Resort and Convention Center. A regional partner meeting with Steve and Kelly Swisher on February 19th and 20th, 2010, in Scottsdale, Arizona at the DoubleTree Paradise Valley Resort. You're invited to join Kenneth and Gloria Copeland for the 2010 Branson Victory Campaign, March 4th through 6th at Faith Life Church in Branson, Missouri. For more information on these and other KCM meetings, call 800-600-7395. That's 800-600-7395. Or visit our website at kcm.org. Thank you for joining us on the Believer's Voice of Victory. Be sure to request your special gift from Kenneth and Gloria Copeland, the music CD, Christmas Every Day. Prepare for the upcoming season and enjoy the songs that will fill your heart with the joy of Christmas. Request your free copy today. For faster processing, order online through our website at kcm.org. Or if you prefer, call us toll-free, 800-600-7395. One per household, please.
Did you know it's possible in this crazy, mixed up, goofy world to know the one we celebrate, the creator of all life, to have Jesus living in your heart? All you have to do is pray and you'll have Jesus. You'll have Jesus. You'll have Christmas. Yeah.